I think sometimes God's sovereignty, it overrules our decisions. But bad decisions can be used for God's purposes. And that could be to chastise us when we make wrong decisions, to bring us to God's purposes in our life. And those purposes are to come to the Lord. How many people have made bad decisions and it led them down a horrible path and they finally came to the Lord because of that? Well, that's God's providence. That's God's sovereignty.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Because we came.
Aloha kakou e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in the Book of Repeat Offenders, Judges chapter 14.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
We want to look at Samson, God's flawed leader. I mean, any leader, every leader is flawed except Jesus Christ. You know, we're fed a distilled image of men and women of God that God uses, and we put them in glass trophy cases, you know, almost like they're untouchable, you know, to be admired by us common people. Oh, look at them. They are God's chosen ones. And yet when we sanitize those that God uses, we do God and those people a disservice. God never does that. He shows all the flaws. He shows everything. And that's what we're going to see in this man. God uses ordinary people like you and like me to do extraordinary works for him in order that only he get the glory. Not Samson, not David, not any of the Paul, not Peter that would get the glory, but God would get the glory. Now, Samson, we find him in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, and that's the hall of faith of the saints that God uses, men and women, and so you can find him here. But when we maybe just think about him, maybe you don't know too much about him, but if you're just maybe a common person, you hear about the Bible, you hear about those that God used, and you say, oh, we'll use Samson, and you think, well, yeah, he was a strong guy. He was, you know, you kind of think of that, but we don't expect the one that is designated by heaven and by God himself, called by God himself, and a hero of the faith, we don't expect him to be such a flawed individual. If you didn't know the scripture, you'd think, really? He was like that and God used him? How could God do that? Well, because God wants to get the glory. And that's why God will use you or he will use me. You see, we're flawed as well. And it's why God uses flawed individuals, realizing that we could never do what God wants us to do if we were on our own. We could only do it by God's Spirit and God's calling and God's power and his anointing upon us. You see, that's why we pick out these, what we call them, heroes of the faith, or those that God uses. And we pick them out because they're sort of a riddle. Samson's sort of a riddle. He's sort of a paradox of a man who does great and extraordinary things, and yet he himself is weak and flawed. And yet we don't admire certain parts of him at all. But you see, that's the point. We're not intended to follow his pattern as a man, not at all. But we're to follow what God did through this flawed man. We're awed by what God does through an individual like Samson. And we're awed by what God does through us when he uses you, when he uses me. It's really an amazing thing that we find. Imperfect people that God's power and God's authority works through. That is an amazing thing. You see, quite often people think, well, I've got to get stronger. I've got to get more mature. I've got to get more spiritual, and then God will use me. You're going to be waiting until you're face to face with the Lord if that's what you're thinking. He wants to use you like right now, right tonight. You see, and we're really good at making excuses, aren't we? Oh, I did for a long time. And yet God just kind of drafted me, pushed me into the ministry. And I think sometimes that's what we need. We need that push. Well, let's look at Samson, and we'll go through chapter 14, and we'll go a number of verses at a time, and then we'll talk about those. So in verse 1, go down to verse 3, we read, "Then Samson went down to Timnah." Now, of course, in chapter 13, the angel of the Lord appears to Manoah's wife, and then Manoah and prophesies or says that you're going to have a son, and he will be a Nazarite, or one who's set apart for God. And so he's born. And so here he is alive, grown. He goes down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. So he came back and told his father and mother, "I saw a woman in Timnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me as a wife." Then his father and his mother said to him, "Is there no woman among the daughters of your relatives or among all the people that you go to take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?" But Samson said to his father, "Get her for me. She looks good to me." That's not a good reason to get married. She looks good to me. But you see, he goes down to this place. He goes down. I think it's interesting, the word down. He goes down to a place of temptation, basically, Timnah. It's a city of the Philistines. Wait a minute, you're a Nazarite, Samson. You're an Israelite. What are you doing going down to Timnah, that city of the Philistines, and going to an exotic woman? A Philistine woman. Oh, they're exotic. They're all made up. Beautiful. And yet there's the attraction. There's the attraction. You have to be careful. Stay away from the temptations of Timnah. There's a lot of them out there. Now we don't have to go down. We can just turn on the internet, and it's right there, right before us. You see, it's not how close to the fire can we get without getting burned. You know, I think a lot of Christians, they think, well, you know, the temptation's there, but how close can I get to it? I don't want to get burned. I don't want to fall. But yeah, you know, if that's the idea, you will fall. The eyes with seeing are never satisfied. So you can keep seeing and seeing, and it'll never satisfy you, because that the eye gate does not satisfy the soul, does not satisfy the spirit. And so here he has godly parents, and they're trying to steer him in the right direction, especially in the ways of marriage. So they've been married for a while, and that's always good. Usually when kids don't confer with parents, especially if parents are godly and they have a good marriage, marriages are always going to be growing. And you think, well, a perfect marriage is you never lose your, you know, your temper, or you always have nice words to say. No, there's a meeting of the mind. Sometimes there's two people that are different people. They say opposites attract. Well, you're not marrying one just like you, so it's two spoons. No, you fit perfectly together. It's two people. The two shall become one flesh, and they have different attitudes and different mindsets and different tastes and that kind of thing. When me and my wife go through a buffet, I look at her dish and I look at mine, and they're completely different. But it's like the two shall become one flesh. Sometimes we think, well, it's like a bed of, you know, bed of flowers, and you see these people in slow motion running from either side of the yard and they're coming together and then they just hug and it's just wonderful. The two became one. No, it's not like that. It's like heavenly sandpaper. You know, they come together. You have the heavy grit, you know, the 50 grit, and then the 100 grit, and then the fine grit, and then you become one. So when you just see, if it's only by sight, you know, that can lead you astray. Now, the parents, very important, because they can give good counsel. And as the Bible says, don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. That's basically what Manoah and his wife are saying to Samson. You know, isn't there one among the Israelites that, you know, you can marry or you like? You see, life's lessons, they teach us a lot. I mean, you look at some of these beautiful people that they put on TV, these stars and these people, it's just amazing how many, you know, marriages they have. And I'm just amazed at how many stick together. I mean, very attractive people that are out there, and yet they're married for 40, 50 years. I thought, I admire them, really admire them, that they're able to, that because there's all sorts of temptations out there. That's good. That's good, and there's a lot to learn, those life lessons, and history can teach us a lot. I mean, here, Samson and his mom and dad, they had years before that they could look at. What about in the family of Isaac? They would know that, one of the patriarchs. They would know that family. Remember Isaac, whose sons Esau and Jacob, how the scripture tells us in Genesis 26, 34, and when Esau was 40 years old, he married Judith, the daughter of Beri the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, and they brought grief to Isaac and Rebekah. He married out of the family tree, you know, out of the Israelites, and they married these pagans because they looked good. And then it goes on a little farther in chapter 27, verse 46, and Rebekah said to Isaac, I am tired of living because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob, her other son, takes a wife from the daughters of Heth like these from the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me? Chapter 28, 1. So Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. And he listened. It's good when kids will listen to the wisdom of parents, but Samson doesn't do that. Now, I know it's going to say, well, it was of the Lord. Yeah, that's fine. All things are of the Lord because God uses all things for his purposes and his glory. Even things that aren't so good, and that's what we're going to see here. And even things in your life and my life. You see, the Bible tells us to honor your father and your mother that their life may be long here on the earth or in the land. And we find that Samson didn't do that. He didn't really honor his mother and father. And you know that his life was cut short. We see it, you know, as we come to the end of Samson's life. We will see that in the weeks to come. But you see, God's commands, when God gives the commands, when God gives his word, it's good parents that want the kids to follow the word. This is why they raise them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. When they're old, they'll not depart from it. So here, Samson's parents are seeking to uphold the good things, the commands of the Lord. And back then, come out from amongst them and be separate, the Bible says, the Lord says. You see, but Samson's not, he's not following that. Neither did Esau follow that. Neither did a lot of those that were raised in godly families. You see, if you marry, the Bible says, only marry in the Lord. Even the New Testament tells us that. Marry in the Lord. Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. You find that was the command. That was in the law. Samson knew the law. His parents knew the law. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1 says, when the Lord your God shall bring you into the land where you are entering to possess it, and shall clear away many nations before you, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and stronger than you. And when the Lord your God shall deliver them before you, you shall defeat them. Then you shall utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them and show no favor to them. Furthermore, you shall not intermarry with them. You shall not give your daughters to their sons, nor shall you take their daughters for your sons, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. Then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he will quickly destroy you. You see, there's the command. It's laid out. I know sometimes we find that our kids, they grow, our grandkids grow, and sometimes they marry, and it's very abrupt, or they get involved very abrupt, and sometimes the parents just have to stand back and watch this unfold, try to do your best, but seems like they won't want to listen. But you see, even then, God is in that. Even then, God is in that, and we will see that. But notice what he says, get her for me. That's what he's saying to his father. Because the father had three duties to his children. Number one, teach the Torah. Teach them the law. They are to know the law. That's number one with God. The second is to give them a trade. In other words, train them up in what you're doing. What are you doing? Are you a construction worker? You're building houses of stone? In agriculture, you're plowing the field, whatever you're doing, teach your child to do that. Give them a trade. The third thing is find a mate for them. Get a mate for them. And usually the parents would arrange the marriage. And so to marry off the children, that was an important thing. But to become one with a worshiper of Dagon, that's what Samson is doing. That's who they worship, Dagon, the Philistines. We know when the ark was brought into the temple of Dagon, that idol tipped over and broke. I mean, what a ridiculous thing. And so I sense and I'm thinking that's what his parents are maybe counseling him there, but he doesn't listen. He also talked about these being the uncircumcised. Why would you go to the uncircumcised to marry? You know, the uncircumcised Philistines, it was really a word of contempt or disdain because they were outside the covenant of God. These are God's people who are moving toward God's land, the promised land, who ultimately are going to produce the Messiah, the Savior of the world. You see, so it's very special calling. And so That term uncircumcised is a reference to the idolaters, those outside the covenant of God. And the parents, they had wisdom. Marriage that is mismatched is bad. It began way back in the beginning. It began right after the flood. Remember, after the flood, the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair. And they took them wives for all which they chose. I know there's a certain idea that the sons of God were actually angels, cohabitating with angels, and you had the Nephilim or the giants produced. Well, that's one way to look at it. Could be. Or it could basically be just unbelievers that are demon-possessed. That's how I look at it. Because there's a lot of controversy that angels can't cohabitate with women in that sense. So some commentators say that could never happen. Others say, oh, it could happen. And so that's what was produced, just these giants. But I think what is more probable, if you have a demon-possessed individual, when it talks about the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. It could be demon-possessed individuals cohabitating with women. And I don't know that what that would do. Demonic powers. I mean, when you think about what's going on with vaccines and stuff, how people are saying it's changing the DNA and stuff, I don't exactly know that. I'm not a scientist, but I know it's doing some weird things. But when you think of demonic interaction with people, can you transmit demon possession from one to another? Well, demons can inhabit individuals. So we know that back then, they're choosing the wrong choice. It started back then. And then it continues on. And so here, this was a bad choice. A bad choice for Samson in this situation to get aligned and marry one of the Philistines, really the enemies of Israel. He says in verse 4, "Moreover, his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord, for he was seeking an occasion against," God was seeking an occasion against the Philistines. Now at that time, the Philistines were ruling over Israel. God uses bad decisions. You have to ask, did Samson know what he was doing? He know that he was going to do this so that he can, that he could attack the Philistines? I don't think so. She looked good to him, so he wanted her. I think sometimes God's sovereignty, it overrules our decisions. But bad decisions can be used for God's purposes. And that could be to chastise us when we make wrong decisions, to bring us to God's purposes in our life. And those purposes are to come to the Lord. How many people have made bad decisions and it led them down a horrible path and they finally came to the Lord because of that? Well, that's God's providence. That's God's sovereignty. Don't think that you can run your own life outside of God's providence and what God can do. I don't think he was wise enough to know, okay, God, I'm going to do this. I mean, you don't see God ever going to Samuel. Samuel that time was alive, but he never went there. He never went to the tabernacle. You don't see him having any spiritual counsel here. You don't see him doing much except the Spirit of God comes upon him. You don't see him doing much praying either. So I think he was just doing what came natural to him. But in that, what came natural to him, God knew that, and God used that for God's purposes. You see, and God will do that in our life.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of Repeat Offenders, Judges, chapter 14. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in the Book of Repeat Offenders, Judges, chapter 14. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.